Hey, church family, thank you for joining in today for worship. If you did not get my email yesterday, this may come as a surprise, but we have a change of plan. A lot has happened in the last few days, and our leaders felt that this is not a time for business as usual. We have another crisis that is unfolding. The protest that began in Minnesota has now spread over the whole nation. More than 30 cities have been ravaged by angry and violent protesters this weekend, including our own. Like many of you, I am angry with what happened in Minnesota. We cannot ignore these things. We shouldn't be silent about injustice around us. But it's also time for us, I believe, to turn to God and seek His face. That's exactly what we're going to do today. So I apologize for this last minute change, but if you are able, please join us via Zoom for a live service and worship this morning. You'll have to go to your computer or your phone and click the link below in the description section. If you're unable to join us, we will make the recording available shortly after our gathering. But if you can, please make an effort to join us live so that we can pray together and hear what God has to say to us. See you soon.
And I've been really dealing with my own anger towards injustice that I've seen. And yesterday we've had some significant time to process what is happening with our elders and pastors. And we really felt that there's no way that we can just go as business as usual and just pretend that nothing had happened. We had a wonderful sort of introductory message from our worship pastor, John Mann, who just joined us. We're going to hear from him in a little bit, but we decided to scratch that plan, and we just felt like God is really calling us in this season to really, yes, you know, some of us feel like we need to get on the street, but I think God is calling us to get on our knees first before we speak up, before we express our anger and frustration. So we really decided to make this a day of prayer, and we are going to process some of the things that we're feeling inside. And so that's the reason why we're kind of making this unusual change last minute, and where we decided to go live. So we're going to start with the time of worship, and then after we sing a couple of songs, I've asked some of our leaders, our pastors, to just engage in a conversation with me. And again, I'm sure you'll have a chance to also express and pour out your heart before one another. But I think this is really what God is asking us to do today. So why don't we center our hearts and on God, and just take a few moments to just still our spirit, and then we'll enter into a time of worship. Jonathan, will you lead us?
Yep. As we enter a time of worship, if you have an instrument nearby and you want to play along, please feel free to do that. I'll have the words and the chords on screen share. Does everyone see that? Just give a quick thumbs up if you do. Awesome. So as I've been reflecting on what has been happening in our country in the last week, just I think like many of you have had this feeling of grief, of mourning, of frustration, and it reminds me of Nehemiah 1, where Nehemiah gets news that the walls of Jerusalem have been destroyed, or they have not been rebuilt. And it's terrible news that he was not expecting. And so he responds to that by mourning. It says that, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And then he prays after that, and he writes down his prayer in Nehemiah 1. And I thought it was really interesting that Nehemiah's prayer, before he petitions the Lord, He remembers God's character and who he is. He says, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open. And then goes on with his prayer. And I thought it was really interesting because he, before he tells God what he wants and what he believes Israel needs, he holds on to God's character in that moment of crisis. And so I wanted for us this morning as we worship to sing songs that remind us of God's character in the midst of what's happening right now. So if you'll sing this with me, my hope is built on nothing less. going to have a time of prayer later. I just wanted to sing this song as a lead-in into that time to pray together. That God would give us a vision for his heart and how he sees our world. That our prayer time would connect us to the heart of Jesus. So let's sing this together. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. Where do I come from? Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Say that again, God, I look to you. I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord, my shield. I love you, Lord, my God. Whoever all my days I will love. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
God, we declare that you reign, Lord, that you are Lord of all, that Jesus, you are here in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of whatever is happening on in this world. Father, we declare that Jesus, you are seated on your throne. Lord, we choose to worship you today. We choose to say that, God, you are good. We choose to say that, Lord, you are worthy of our honor, of our praise, of all glory. And God, as we gather here this afternoon, would you lead us, Lord, Lord, in this time? Would you lead us, Lord? Would you speak to us, Lord, even as we process the events that have happened in our country that are still happening right now? Lord, we bring to you our pain, our sadness, all of the injustices. Father, we know, God, that you reign. And Lord, we say hallelujah to you. Father, we pray that even as we hear from you today, God, would you give us a soft heart? Would you give us open ears? Would you give us, Lord, your response, Lord, to what is going on? Father, we look to you. We don't look to ourselves. We don't look to the media. We don't look to even our feelings. But God, we look to you. And Lord, we submit this time into your hands, and we invite you here into our homes, that Holy Spirit, you would speak, even as we reflect, even as we share, even as we pray. Would you guide us now? We love you, God, and we thank you, Lord, that we can be in community together right now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for making this last minute change and joining us today. And I want to start with a text message that I received from a good friend of mine. Actually, many of you know Kelvin Walker, who spoke at our Deeper Life conference. He sent me a little text message on the article that he's writing in response to what just happened this weekend. And again, you know, this is not a random, rare event. Just a few weeks before, there was another incident, and this is becoming almost like a normal routine of our American way of living. But I want to read this text message to you, and I want us to really reflect on this. It occurs to me this morning that the white evangelical church in America spends millions upon millions of dollars annually in taking the gospel to the other nations, telling of the saving work of Jesus, how he died for all, the issue of sin in all humanity, and how salvation is found in Jesus and him alone. Quite often, the missionaries who go overseas to share the message of Jesus also come back and speak of the injustices that they see and grieve over in their work overseas. The racial, socioeconomic, and gender injustices. They speak of the ills of sex trafficking and the injustice of child slave labor. Further, the message they give is that the gospel demands that the church addresses those things and becomes the voice of the voiceless. Overseas, we do not see the gospel of salvation and the gospel that addresses the injustices of society as mutually exclusive. When the church ministers internationally, there is no such thing as a bifurcation of the true gospel and the social gospel. Why is it then, when racism, socioeconomic injustice, and gender discrimination happen in America, the same church is woefully silent and/or antagonistic to anyone who speaks out against these injustices? Why is it that this same church questions the legitimacy of claims of these injustices, and rather than defending the poor, the disenfranchised, and the oppressed, we scrutinize the victims of such atrocities? Further, why is it that we, denounce believers who do speak out against such things and categorize them as people who preach a liberal or social gospel. To be clear, the same gospel that saves the soul for eternity also addresses and transforms the lives of those who are suffering and oppressed in the here and now. To be clear, before the throne of God, there is no soul gospel and social gospel. It is the gospel, plain and simple. And the church that does not speak out against injustice is saying to those who are suffering from injustice, for your life with regard for eternity, I pray you accept Jesus and repent of your sin. But for your life here on earth, be warm and be fed the best way you can. You're on your own. That, my friends, is a half gospel. And that, my friends, does not please the heart of God. When I read this morning, I really thought that it was a prophetic voice that the church needs to hear. We're all guilty in some ways. Even though we feel the pain of those people that are being oppressed at this moment, especially our Black community, we cannot fully experience the pain, the sorrow, even the extent of their suffering that has lasted for so many years. And, you know, as Asians, we have our own wall in some ways. We have our own privilege behind which we can actually hide. And oftentimes we can be a little more distanced or even indifferent to what is happening in this country. But I feel that the Lord is really asking us to care for what is happening. And again, I think this is part of what the Lord has been doing in this COVID-19 crisis. He's exposing a lot of things in our own personal heart and soul, as well as the things that have been just plaguing the church. And God's been exposing the things of our society and our country. So this is really a significant season where we need to really seek God's face and pray. And I pray that we as a church will not be silent. I don't even know how to speak out and how to really speak up for the voiceless at this point. But it starts with us processing together and hearing God's voice together in this season. So what I really want to share with you, I said earlier that the predominant emotion that I've been feeling is this anger and frustration. But before we start pointing our fingers at other people, those white police officers, or even our government officials for not really making any significant changes in our policies, I just want to share, and this really comes from a very vulnerable and honest place, but you know, as I was fuming in anger over what happened, I think it was the voice of the Spirit just whispering into my ear. I think it was yesterday. I heard this voice saying, "What would you have done, Ted, if you were there? If you were in front of the scene where a Black man was pinned down by a white police officer, what would you have done?" Now, all of us want to say that I would have stepped in, I would have intervened, I would have told this cop to stop, or I would have done something. That's how we all feel. But we have to understand that if we had not known what was really going on, if we had not known that this man was innocent, he did not commit a crime that deserves his own death, and we did not know all the background information that the media actually revealed to us, I have to be honest with you, I would have just sat there and I would have assumed that this police officer is stopping a crime. And maybe this guy did something terrible and he's just trying to stop a crime. You know, in that moment, I think what the Lord really convicted me of is that, you know, this racism, this prejudice, this kind of bias is in all of us. I realized that even in my own heart, there's this virus of racism that just plagues my own heart, because we make all kinds of assumptions about people based on their color, the way they dress, the way they talk. Even when people walk into our church, we make all kinds of assumptions about, you know, people that we meet. So I think today, I think the Lord is really wanting us to start this whole process of grieving and processing from maybe a place of repentance, just in our own hearts, for our own biases and prejudices and preferences, and even putting ourselves and our own way of doing things at the center of our reality. So this is really kind of what I've been processing and what the Lord has been speaking to me in this last 24 hours, 48 hours. I've also invited our pastoral team, Pastor Douglas and Cheryl and Sandy and myself and John, to join in this conversation. And then we have Leonora as well. We're not going to have a time as a whole group to talk about this, and we will have some time to break out and pray, and you will have an opportunity to process with one another. But I think it is important that we talk about how do we process what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what is actually happening in our society. And we want to maybe talk a little bit about what we should do as a Christians, because even in the morning, there are a lot of people, you know, when they were writing their emotions on the chat window, they said, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to pray, just in light of what is happening. And I think it's okay to feel that way. So I feel that this is really a significant moment for us to come together as a family. And I'm just really grateful that we can grieve together as a family, and we can process this together as a family, communally. So I'm just really grateful. And I want to bring in some of these pastoral voices to really speak into this, and we'll process this together. So with that, Leonora, why don't I start with you? Just unmute yourself. And Leonora, you actually come from a very ethnically different background from many of us. And especially as you witness some of these things, just share with us what's been going through your mind, your heart, and how you're processing this event. The rest of you, if you just put your... there's a speaker view on top, then you'll get to hear directly from one of our speakers. So Leonora, go ahead and share what God's been speaking to you in this last couple of days.
Yeah. Well, when I first got the news, waking up and seeing everything on social media, on every platform, somebody was posting something about what was going on. And my first initial thought was, why now is everybody saying something? Why now? This has been going on for centuries, you know, but why now is everybody saying something? So I kind of just ignored it and went about my day. I didn't really look further on the news to see what was going on. And the next day, I saw the video. And when I saw the video of what happened to George Floyd, I was deeply grieved. And this grief carried on overnight for about the next 24 hours. I actually woke up in the middle of the night a few times and just would start crying, thinking about the video that I saw and this man. But I wondered, you know, I think the grief was so deep. I didn't know why I was grieving so hard for this man. In fact, I grieved more for him than just the passing of my godfather a couple months ago. So I knew that there was something wrong, that there was something other than just me grieving for him. But as I watched the video, it really hit me that, you know, the Black community is really hated. And I think for me, you know, most of you may know, I am, you know, I'm Salvadorian and I am Black. And growing up, I have been told that, you know, at least I wasn't, you know, Black like other people were black. At least I'm mixed. At least I'm light skinned, you know, and hearing all of these things actually made me feel disconnected to the black community. And so going through, you know, all these emotions that were coming up, I didn't really know where they were all coming from. But when I was just praying and asking the Lord, like, Lord, you know, I have all these different emotions, and the predominant one was anger. Why am I angry? What am I even angry at, you know? And I think what I was feeling was I was angry because all of a sudden the reality of the black community being hated was real to me. That wasn't really real to me before. I grew up here in the Bay Area, literally one of the most diverse places in the world. And that it really wasn't my experience. And so I felt that seeing the hatred for the black community, but then I also realized that I had a hatred for the black community as well, which was extremely surprising, not only for the black community, but for part of myself and a part of who I was. And so the Lord brought me back to some childhood memories. The first one that I remember was just my mom's father, who's Salvadorian, him not wanting to have anything to do with me and my siblings because we were black. And so all these different things that were spoken to me or spoken over me, I actually partnered with them. And it was like, yeah, at least I'm, you know, not that black, you know, so at least I'm not like them. And realized that all that carried into having a hatred towards part of who I was. And I think the last couple of years I've been asking the Lord, you know, Lord, why is it that I don't care to take care of myself? You know, what is about me that I don't care to take care of, like, my body? And he showed me this week that it's because there was actually a part of me I hated and I didn't care about. So that was actually a big shocking, you know, revelation for me through all of this. But I think the Lord's actually been really healing me, and I'm grateful that he showed me this. But over this past week, I've been getting text messages asking, like, well, what are we supposed to, you know, what do we do for people who are not black? You know, what do we do? How should we pray? And I truly sense that, like, you know, in this season, God is revealing so much of our heart and what is within us, that when we love God with all of who we are, when we love him with all of our mind, all of our heart, even the ugly part of it, and give and submit all of it to him, we are able to love ourselves and we are able to love others. And so there is no, like, strategy on how to, you know, change our ways, except submitting our heart to him. And so that's what he showed me this week in all of this, was that how, you know, I had no idea that was in my heart. Like, you don't know how surprising that is to know there is a part of me I hated because of some things that were spoken over me. So I thank God for this, for him, you know, speaking this into me and healing me through this process. But it is a reality that the black community is hated.
Thank you for being so real. You know, what I'm really hearing from your sharing, and I think I can totally identify with it. Oftentimes our prejudice or our even racism is a reaction to our own deep wounds that we have received. So on the flip side of that is, if we're not really healed from our own past wounds and whatever we experience in life, I don't think we'll ever be able to love those people that God brings into our lives. So thank you for really affirming that. I'm going to bring John in. And by the way, this is John's first time actually meeting all the New Vine family. I think he came to visit back in February, and then finally he just started 2 weeks ago. So everything is so new. And John, you also made this most unusual move in the midst of the most unusual and chaotic season. I don't really know of many people who would replant across the country in the middle of lockdown, and then obviously, you know, with what happened in the last 48 hours, so much must have been going through your mind. Just share with us what you're really processing in this season and how you're actually even navigating through this change that you're experiencing.
Yeah, you know, when I first heard about what had happened and saw the video earlier in the week, I think my initial response was one of frustration and anger. I was upset about that this is our reality and that it keeps happening. Like I kept asking myself, why does this keep happening to the African American community? I think I had some frustration because I felt like I'm new to San Jose. I don't know where anything is. Even if I want to go join protests, like I don't really know how to get there. I don't know people that are connected to, you know, different justice movements. And so there was a lot of frustration for that. And then I think that frustration kind of shifted a little bit and turned into shame. Where I realized like how quickly, how easy it was for me to disconnect myself from what was happening. And even that feeling of like, oh, why does this keep happening? I really think that because I'm hearing more about it more recently. Like it's just in recent history that it's been filmed or it's been put on social media. And so we see it much more frequently. But the reality is that this has been happening for hundreds of years. And I have the privilege of not having that history hanging over my head. And then on top of that, like even as a minority, knowing that, you know, I have benefited from the civil rights movement, from African American community in ways that I don't acknowledge or don't show gratitude for. And instead, it's very easy for me to just turn a blind eye to it and ignore what's happening. So I think in the midst of those two feelings of frustration and shame, again, I was reminded of that passage in Nehemiah that I read earlier, and how Nehemiah really holds on to the character of God. And so I spent part of this week just really thinking about like what parts of God's heart and his character do we see most in situations like this, right? Or do we need to see most in situations like this? And absolutely, we need to see God's heart of compassion in the church and in his people and in myself. I need to see that. Do I have compassion for the oppressed and for the hurting? You know, our God is a God of truth. And am I seeking out what is true and navigating all the different false realities or lies that we might be presented? But I think probably above both of those, even, you know, I was reminded that our God is a God of grace and forgiveness, and there is a call to forgive the oppressor, to forgive maybe those who are protesting and have lost control, and to extend grace towards them. I think probably personally it was easier to extend grace towards a protester than it was to like one of those four police officers, but we're still called to do that. But then equally as important is my belief that the gospel never separates grace and justice. And the grace that we receive at the cross is purchased by the justice that Jesus experiences. And so if we're to reflect him, then we really need to reflect both the grace and the justice that he demonstrated for us at the cross in our world. And so I think that was that's the hard part for me, is what does that actually look like in my life? I think that when I forget God's character, that's when I fall into the trap of just responding maybe the way the world wants to respond.
Yeah, we don't like the word shame, but there is a healthy kind of shame. And just even from your sharing, I felt the same thing, even as a church. I have to say I was a little ashamed because I didn't know how to respond, how to react, and how to even engage, and how to speak up for these people who have no voice. So I think this is something that we're going to have to really wrestle with. And I just going back, you talked about God's grace as well as his justice. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to just emphasize on one over the other. Calvin earlier in the text that, you know, I read to all of you, he talked about why is it that, you know, we put so much focus on going overseas and taking the gospel to bring salvation. And yet, overseas, there's no distinction between social justice issue versus our soul justice or soul salvation. Whereas when things like this happen in America, there's such a dichotomy. And sometimes those people speak up are oftentimes labeled as liberals or socialists. So I think there's a lot for us to really wrestle with in this season, and especially as an Asian American church. I think this is really a season where we have to take what God is really laying before us seriously, and we cannot just brush this aside as a cultural or ethnic issue. With that, Cheryl, can I invite you to come on up? And I remember, Cheryl, you also shared your own experience. You had some pain in your own life as Asian American growing up as an immigrant child. And I remember you sharing this story, but how has this season and what you saw is really shaping your heart in this season? What is God really speaking to you about the whole issue of racism and this ethnic or racial tension that we're experiencing right now?
Thanks, Pastor Ted. So for me, you know, when I watched that video, obviously I could only, it was so horrific. I wasn't able to even watch it more than once. But for me, where the Holy Spirit was really convicting me was, in that police officer that was Asian that was standing on the side. And as some of you may have seen or noticed, you know, he was part of that team of four, and he was an onlooker in the same team as the one that was perpetrating the murder. And, you know, he pushed people away and he was there. And I've been reflecting about, well, gosh, what might have been going through his mind. You know, maybe he was thinking, oh, you know, that's just my partner, he just gets angry. Or, you know, maybe he was thinking in his mind, well, you know, my role is to keep the peace. And, you know, the Holy Spirit convicted me that I am that police officer. I, you know, as a person of Asian descent, I have been someone who, you know, has been part of a culture, and myself included, where kind of keeping the peace or keeping the status quo so that, you know, that you have, you know, conflict avoidance, that is often seen as the higher ground than the call for justice. And it sort of just, it hit me that, you know, this, that I am guilty in my passive state, not only personally, but culturally, as a member of one who is Asian American. I think, as Pastor John spoke, you know, we have reaped the benefits, you know, that the African American community has fought so hard, and yet we stay silent at times of this. We tend to think, you know, gosh, this is an issue of black and white, and we think that this does not relate to us. But I really saw that in his passive state, that this is exactly what I do. And so, you know, it was clear to me that I think that as people that are of Asian American descent, we need to come together as those that are, that identify as Christ followers, to come and repent together, just as a culture, for our tendency to really just underplay things like this and to do nothing, to stand by passively. I personally was convicted of times where, when I've seen injustice, that I kind of just stand by because I didn't want to rock the boat, or times where I've been in a position of power but have not used that power to right the wrong. And so I just sense that this is really a time as a church that we come together, you know, whether it be as New Vine, as the Church of Jesus Christ, just in a spirit of repentance, repentance for our being passive. But also, you know, personally, I also know, I'm just going to call it out that, you know, Asians, you know, maybe we second generation folks may hide that a little bit more, but I know that there are many of our forefathers that are just outright, you know, very explicit, you know, in their racism, their fear of the African-American community or their opinions about that. And so just really calling out just a time of repentance for the church.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for calling it out, because many of us, we come from a culture that values harmony, peace, which is really not a peace. It's more of a fake peace that we try to preserve. And fake harmony is more of a fear of conflict, because we don't want things to be disrupted. And I think oftentimes churches are guilty of that. We just want to maintain the form of harmony and peace at the expense of true peace that Jesus really wants to bring. So I think we have a lot of work ahead of us, even as a church that does not know how to face conflict and how to confront injustice. I think we'll have to really learn to do this well with the grace and love that Jesus shows. But you know, if I think about it, Jesus was never afraid of confronting injustice. I can think of him literally just throwing all the tables upside down and taking out a whip and driving people out of the temple, because for him, it was not about the business or making money. It was about the injustice, inequality that was actually taking place. So we have a lot to learn in this season. Since Douglas, you're on the screen, why don't you go ahead and share what's on your heart as a pastor of this congregation? What is God really putting on your heart?
Yeah, you know, earlier in the week when the tragic event happened on Monday, you know, I was like, you know, obviously feeling upset, feeling angry, feeling sad. But I think over the period of a few days over this week, it didn't really, I guess, maybe hit home until Friday when I heard that the 101 was shut down. For some of you that may know, the 101 where it was shut down by downtown San Jose was very close to our San Jose church, just a few exits away. And, you know, and then there was like, you know, the protests in City Hall and around downtown and stuff. And I felt like, you know, something changed within me from Monday to Friday. And then I felt like God asking me the question, well, why did it take you a few days to really feel like you had to, I don't know, stand up or feel like there really is an issue? Like, you know, something that happened in Minneapolis, shouldn't that have affected me? And I feel like the Lord was just revealing in my own heart, you know, maybe there is some, I don't know, like, bias or racism or just, I guess I felt like it shouldn't have to take something that's hitting our own unique community, you know, that close to home before I should see the injustices that God was already showing me, or at least to feel like, wow, this is, you know, this is something that we really cannot ignore. And I think as some of us have shared, you know, this isn't an isolated incident. You know, this has happened time and time again. And so I felt like, you know, over the last few days, I've really been asking God, yeah, what is it that you want us to do? What is it that you want us to be praying for as a church, as believers, you know, as people who want to love others, And it's been a process, but, you know, just, I guess, processing it with all of you verbal, is helping. But I do feel that God was really surfacing some things in my heart over the last few days. Yeah.
Oftentimes I feel like, you know, as we look at, you know, these kind of events and crises, our hearts get so numbed. And, you know, we react and we get angry, we get upset. And then a few days later, we just move on with life, and until something more tragic or terrible happens, and then we react again. So I think one of the things that I really want to challenge all of us today is really to think about what is, as a church and as God's people, what is the best way for us to really bring about any kind of meaningful transformation, changes to our society? And more so, I want us to really think about, what is my part? Again, you know, that's a really difficult question to answer. I mean, how do we even change a system? But maybe it's not about changing a system. Maybe it's about how I live out that gospel, not just our soul gospel, but also the social as well. How do we really do this in a way that will really bring about some form of real transformation in my relationship with others, in my community, in your workplace? So I think these are some of the things that I really want you to wrestle with, even as you pray with one another. I'm going to ask my wife, Sandy, to just share her thoughts, because, you know, ever since this happened, you know, it brought back a lot of memory. Sandy was a little girl at the time when LA riot broke. It was 1992. I want to make sure that I give the right year. 1992. I was a little older, but I vividly remember all of the atrocities, the riot, the anger that lasted for days and killing. You know, we even know some people who lost their lives in this whole thing. So, you know, it's been really painful. And I think she's been kind of reliving that whole experience as an adult. So I'm going to have her share just her experience in this whole crisis. And maybe she can share some ways that we can really navigate through, you know, our hurt and our emotion in the season. So here's my wife, Sandy.
Ted's definition of little girl is a junior in high school. So this whole week definitely brought back a lot of memories. I had to actually read through some of the historical facts because it's almost 30 years ago. 1991, there was a similar incident which did not lead to death, but Rodney King was pretty brutally beat up by four white LAPD officers. And then a week after that incident, a young 15-year-old Black girl was fatally shot at a convenience store owned by Koreans who happened to be our family friend. And then on April 29, 1992, the four police officers were acquitted of all their charges. And that day was a huge defining moment in LA history, where the LA riots began. And I lived in the heart of that. My high school was actually shut down for many days because they were telling us to stay shelter in place. I remember during that time, there was no church gatherings like this to help us navigate through violence and racial tension. As an immigrant Korean family, we were taught to stay quiet. We were taught to keep within our own ethnic safe boundaries. There were clear ethnic boundaries all over Los Angeles County. If you're a Latino, you stay in your community. If you're Korean, you stay in your community. If you're Black, there's no crossing over. And as Asians, I was taught to stay quiet, to mind my own business, and turn the other way. And so this week, I actually went back and looked at some of the TV footage. And I was reminded also my aunt was a target. She was a convenience store owner. My own high school friend's brother decided to go and speak some sense into these Korean business store owners who were on top of their business buildings with guns, ready to shoot down anybody who would come into their store to loot. And my friend's brother was the first Korean who was slain by our own people. It was a very tragic, tragic day for all of us. Growing up, I was taught just to turn a blind eye. And if you engage, you're risking your own life. And some of my friends who did want to engage have lost their own lives as well. And so as I was looking at the video footage of George Floyd's death, it was heart-wrenching for me. But the more painful part was to see that Asian man, the cop, just standing very passively. And as Cheryl mentioned, that was more heart-wrenching for me as an Asian American. And I, in front of my kids, I called him a coward. I called him all sorts of names. Like, how dare he can just stand there allowing such a murder and violence to happen to an innocent man. And God really pointed out, this is the same passivity you've lived with all your life. You've always turned a blind eye to injustice. You get angry and grieve and complain, but it just stays within my own heart. And I have not engaged in prayer and repentance, and not engaged with really bringing this gospel into these kind of situations. And so what is our response? My daughter said, let's go and do that silent protest. Do we get more active on social media? And God just really challenged me, would you really pray for healing and pray for peace and reconciliation? It's not just about racial reconciliation, but it's about restless, broken hearts that really need the gospel to transform them. I think when our hearts are truly transformed by the gospel and we are reconciled to Christ, that reconciliation bears fruit in all of our relationships, even across our racial tensions. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. This pandemic has exposed the restless hearts that all of us have been dealing with. And now this murder of George Floyd is exposing the restless condition of our society. And today I really want to give a charge to all of us. And this is the message that God has given to me, is will I cry out for the reconciliation of people's hearts ultimately to the Lord? Do I truly believe that the gospel can transform hearts and transform society? When our hearts have been gripped and transformed by the good news, reconciliation and peace will be the direct fruit of that. We cannot miss that important truth. As we pray for the victims and also the offender, they all need the gospel right now. I think God's going to show us how we need to engage and respond as a church. But that response must come from a place of really crying out to the Lord and lament and grief, and really receiving his heart. His heart is grieving as well. His heart is in pain, but he is also a God of justice and compassion. And I think as we wrestle with God in prayer, he's gonna give us a clear assignment. This is how you are to go. I give you courage and wisdom to know how to engage with the world during this crisis and how to really be a light of Christ to carry that message of reconciliation to the world. Just a very practical thing I think any of us can do is, obviously, the police department is a big target of judgment and criticism right now. And Eddie Garcia, the chief of police of San Jose, had an amazing kind of pep talk with his crew. And if you find it somewhere, it was so encouraging for me to hear. And I realized that we have the gift of blessing. We have the gift of words. We have the gift of encouragement as a church. And I think what we can do, whatever age our kids are, we can write a letter of blessing saying that we're covering you, police department, in prayer, and just really give words of life to them at this time. That's just one practical tip my family and I are planning to do this week.
Okay. So we're going to wrap up our time together as a whole group, and I'll send you into smaller groups to process and pour out your heart before one another and ultimately before God. But just to really summarize what we're hearing from the Lord today, he's really giving us permission to grieve. I think, again, you know, there are two ways to grieve. One is to really just grieve from our own human heart. But I think we need to really get a hold of God's grief over our city, our society, what we're going through. So I want to really ask you to enter into that grief that God has for us. He's also giving us permission to be angry. And again, you know, God's anger is very, very different from how we feel. A lot of our anger comes from a place of self-righteousness, even hypocrisy. But God's anger is perfect. Divine wrath is based on his perfect justice. So I think this is where we can really ask, even as our hearts feel that anger, pray that our anger will line up with you know, how God feels about our humanity and this place. So pray for that as well. But ultimately, what God is really speaking to us today is that our protest has to be more than just the grief and anger. Oftentimes, that's where things just stop, and that's not going to change anything. That is not going to produce any fruit. But God is really calling us out of our passivity. I don't know how. Maybe it'll start with just something as simple as writing a blessing card. For some of you, maybe it's making a friend who's of different background, different color, different socioeconomic situation, different ethnic background. So, or even inviting that person into your home for a meal. We have to engage. If we don't, again, it's just going to be a reaction that's just going to stay as a reaction and nothing changes. So I want to really bless you to wrestle with these things. And, you know, as we go into smaller groups today, I want to make sure that you have a space and time to just really process and talk about what you're feeling. At the same time, I hope you'll have the courage to really call out, you know, what we really need to confront, even in our own heart, even in our own church and our community. One thing that is beautiful about New Vine is that even though we have a lot of Asians, we're not just an Asian church. We're not just a community made up of one type of people. And that is really what the kingdom of God is going to look like in the future. That reflects the real kingdom. And so we have to fight until we reach that reality, even as a church. So pray that over New Vine community, over our fellowship, and spend some time really blessing our city as well as our communities in the next 30 minutes or so. We're going to have one more song. John, are you ready to lead us in one more song?
The blessing.
Are we going to?
Yeah.
Can you lead us in the song? Yeah. We actually wanted to sing this song over our city. We did that in the morning. We just had to play a clip. But, you know, as we sing this last song, Sandy mentioned, God has given us authority, power to bless, and it's not just a wish. I think as we speak these words out and as we sing it over, you know, the people of our city, people of this country, let's believe together that God's actually going to release the gift of his blessing and favor. So John, when you're ready, go ahead and lead us. Thank you.
The Lord bless you.
Lord, we thank you for this gift of peace and the promise of your favor and your presence. We pray that this gift will not just be for your church, but we will be the carriers of such gift to those around us, Lord. Teach us how to be your church. Teach us how to shine in this moment of crisis, and teach us how to be the vessel of your glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.